I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. We're going to talk with, once again, with members of Tyrone West's family who have been demonstrating every week at a different location in Baltimore, are still going through the grieving process and counseling, who Tyrone West has been over almost 100 days?
104
days.
Yes.
104 days since he died at the hands of the Baltimore City Police. There's still no medical examiner's report out.
That's correct.
No state's attorney's report out.
That's correct.
We've done a lot of investigation on our end about those situations, which we'll talk about with the family here. We are joined. You just heard the voice of George Peoples, Tyrone West's uncle. Tawanda Jones is with us. She was here before. Tyrone West's sister, Jamie Richardson. Tyrone West's cousin. And do I have everybody's name down here? And Nashe West, Tyrone West's daughter. West. No?
She
I have the wrong name. I'm sorry.
It's Uncle Clifton Anderson.
Clifton Anderson.
Yes.
All right. Is with us in studio. So welcome, all. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Mark, for having the family on your show and program once again. We're happy to be presented with the opportunity to present this incident of this case before the public and before the many listeners that listen to your show. So we're very elated to be on here to discuss what we've been doing and to discuss the progress that's being done on behalf of the city agencies, which are null and void. So,
yeah, what has happened? We have callers calling in already, so we're going to get these calls. But what have you heard from the medical examiner's office? What have you heard from the Baltimore City Police? What have you heard from the state's attorney's office?
We haven't heard anything.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not a word.
Nothing.
Not a
one
letter.
Word. Not a
not
letter.
Not a phone call.
Not a phone call. Absolutely nothing.
And in regards to that as well, as you know, we've established a program called West Wednesdays, where we demonstrate at the different agencies that are responsible and accountable to the citizens of Baltimore for any travesties that's being done. And we have demonstrated from the medical examiner's office, which is responsible for putting out the medical autopsy. And we have actually sat down and had an interview with the doctor who performed that autopsy.
You sat down and talked to him?
Talked to her, Dr. Pamela. Yes, Dr. Pamela Southall. We actually sat down and talked to her.
And what did she say?
Well, it's the same story. It's pending investigation. She can't say anything.
Can't say anything.
She can't say anything. The outside agencies are performing additional tests, and they're waiting on those, and they've done what they're supposed to do. They're just waiting on the outside agencies to send in their results. But, you know, with that being said, outside agencies, the Baltimore City Medical Examiner's Office is over $100 million facility, whereas all bodies from all over the whole state are sent to them to perform autopsies. So why should they have to send out?
You know, do you know who these other agencies are?
She refused to disclose that as well. She's saying she's not at liberty to say that.
And I want to jump in real
Tawanda,
fast. The only reason why the only reason why I believe that she spoke to us is because we was protesting out there, and I think it was just the cover up, basically, to pull us in so we won't protest and make it look hot outside of that agency and act like she was going to give us answers because we wanted to know what was going on. We went in there, and it was like a waste of time because you didn't tell us nothing. We still don't know nothing. 104 days, still absolutely nothing.
Well, what has happened when you've tried to maybe move this so I can see everybody. I'm sorry. Now I can see folks. What happened when you tried to continue a conversation with Commissioner Batts and the police department or the Northeast District?
Well, you say try to continue. There hasn't been a beginning.
I thought you had a conversation in public with them at some point. Did you
Well, not? In public, that was at the Legislative Black Caucus conversation with the police officers held right here at Morgan on October the 8th. And at that time, questions were presented regarding this case. And, of course, we got the same rhetoric. It's pending investigation. They can't comment on the case. But that's beside the point. We know what's right and what's wrong. There's no way that there should have been 10 police officers on one unarmed man.
Well, one of the things that I was hoping we'd have ready today, but we've been so crazy here, we have not put it up. We interviewed on this program both Commissioner Batts and the state's attorney different times after we all spoke together on the air and in the last month. And I asked them both the same question, but they got interesting responses. And we will play those things in the next couple of days for our listeners to hear. I asked the state's attorney whether or not, because you all raised this on the show last time, and I raised it to them. You all raised in the show that you said you thought that the same police officers involved in the death of Anthony Anderson were involved in the death of Tyrone West. So I asked that question very specifically to the state's attorney and to Commissioner Batts. State's attorney said, got very upset with me, saying that that's not the case, the same police officer, same police officers were not involved, and that is a kind of a dangerous rumor. I asked Commissioner Batts the same question. We have this all on tape. Mm-hmm. And Commissioner Batts, when I pushed him on the question, and finally said, no, what I'm asking you is, can you say definitively that none of the officers involved in the death of Anthony Anderson were also involved in the death of Tyrone West? His response was, I can't at this time. I cannot say that at this time. So there's a contradiction here.
That's a cover-up.
We want to know the truth.
We want to get to the truth.
I don't know. Nobody knows the truth.
We want to get to the truth.
Exactly.
But Mark, I listened intently to that program that you held with each and every one of them.
Yeah.
And you specifically asked that question twice. You said, now let me repeat this. Are you saying that the same police officer was not involved? But, you know, and I'm here to say that that's a blatant out-and-out lie that he told over the airwaves, because the Baltimore City Police Department themselves issued a report that Officer Nicholas Chapman the same officer who is, without a doubt, was a part of the violent crimes unit that the Baltimore City employs.
And when my uncle asked them, at the other day when we went to the town hall meeting where the mayor was there.
Right.
And they pushed it to the side. Now, if this was not true, when he's asking them, they would have cleared it up right then and there. They're like, well, we're going to get back to you. We got it on video. They were like, we're going to get back to you. We can't answer that. But you're blatantly coming on your show saying, oh, this is not true. That was your moment to be like, this is not true.
You know,
didn't you ask him, did you not? Was it a lie?
I specifically asked that question. But to that point, I want to right now at this very time say that the mayor of Baltimore City was at that cabinet meeting in the community, which was held at the Maritime School on the corner of Sinclair and Moravia.
Right.
And at that time, you know, I totally respect the office of the mayor, but from what she did and her performance, I have no respect for the person that holds that office. She disrespected me. She disrespected my family.
How did she do that?
She prevented me from asking questions. You know, at this meeting, after all of the cabinet heads gave their reports, which were of a positive nature, none of the reports that the department heads gave was negative. Everything, it seems, was okie-dokie and perfect within this city. But this city has many ills.
Many.
Many ills. And the mayor is ultimately responsible for all of them. If she was a doctor, she would be sued for malpractice.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
However, you know, at the end of that meeting, they held something called a breakout session in which each head went to each room.
Mm-hmm.
And she reassured the total public that all questions will be answered and they will not leave until the questions are answered. However, I was the first person in the room with the Baltimore City Police Department. I want to be sure that I could get my questions asked and answered. She distinctly cut me off as her authority and said, Your questions will be answered later. Let everybody else in the room ask their questions.
Folks, you might have to go to the phones, and please, the other family members, you're free to jump in as well. It's at 410-319-8888 is the number here as we talk with the family members, a Tyrone West family, about where we are with this. The Mark Steiner Show is committed to continuing this story, asking questions of those in authority, bringing the family to the airwaves so their voice can be heard, to find out what went on, and to paint a picture of Tyrone West and who he was as a man, as a human being, as a son, as a brother, as a grandson. 410-319-8888 is the number here. And Nakia, you're on the air.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Welcome. Yes, good morning. My name is Nakia, and I'm calling because last year, Saturday, March 31st, 2012, George Booker Wells III was murdered by Baltimore City Police. His name was Jethro Estavion from the Central District. And my family has been going through a bit of a turmoil as well. We have been to all the agencies, talked to the state's attorney. You know, basically, they shrug their shoulders and act like that this death does not matter. And I know for a fact that the officer was back out on the street. He killed him on March the 31st. By April the 13th, he was making another arrest. So I'm not understanding what's going on in this police department. They're saying that these people are being put on administrative leave. There are tons of things that are going on with the police department, and they're not answering any questions. They're basically saying, like, don't question us, and, you know, we'll get back to you. They never do. Recently, from that murder happened March the 31st, where George was shot in his back 6 times by one officer and from a faraway distance. And the officer did claim that he had a knife, which the knife was found 5 feet away from his body. There was some type of object there, but we don't know whose it was. And the officer said he was afraid for his life. How can you be afraid for your life if somebody is far away from you and you shoot him in the back 6 times? None of that adds up. And he was back out on the street ready to murder somebody else, not even 14 days later. So that's the problems that we're going through. And we just got the whole homicide file last week. So it's, and that's a whole 18 months or more later. So it's a lot of delays and a lot of distress going on here. And like the West family is saying, covering up. They are covering up because none of it, you could not defend what's going on in that department, clearly. And it's all over the news, the corruption that's going on. So if they're
Nakia, I'm sorry, we want to take a break. I'm glad you got a chance to call in. We have a lot of callers who want to get to hear their voices before we have to go to our next segment and have the family speak up as well. You're welcome to hold on for a moment. Our producers can get your information, and we can talk to you more about your situation as well. And as part of our ongoing look at what's happening in our city, we've also been talking to Jackie Rabarge about the hundreds of people who die, who are poor and people of color in the city, who go to the medical examiner's office. No autopsies are done. Families don't know why they died, what happened to them. So this is a huge issue that faces our community here.
It's a very huge issue.
I mean, and Tyrone West to me is this symbolic face of that issue that we're facing here in Baltimore, and I think we have to have it addressed. We have time for one more call before we go to break. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Chris in Baltimore. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mark. Good
morning, Chris.
The entire West family.
Thank you, Chris.
I just have to say that we have to look at what's going on here and how it's the precursors for these incidents. And that's the painting of these individuals as felons. And so then there's a feeling that we're being protected when these things are done to people who later are found innocent. Tyrone West, there was no probable cause for the stop. There's
right,
no such thing as a random stop, because there's still the need for probable cause. That is not just dismissed in the law, and they need to address that. Tyrone West was treated the same as Officer Corbett was. Officer Corbett, a young black man with a gun, presumed to be a felon. We have to address this environment of painting young black men as felons, as dangerous to the community,
right,
as some type of boogeyman. We have to address the environment that allows these incidents to continually happen, because there will be another Tyrone West, yep. There will be another Officer Corbin. Mm. We have heard of many black officers on duty shot by other officers. We have to address that environment that keeps telling people that black men are dangerous, and so you can treat black men any kind of way, and then after the fact, when it's found that they were actually doing nothing, well, you know what? This guy was only protecting the community, a.k.a. George Zimmerman.
Amen. Mm.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Are we at break time? There's nothing on the screen. I'm trying to see what's going on. Thank you. We got to take a very brief break. We're going to come back with Tyrone West family. We're going to go to Leo, Miss Anderson, before we move on to our next segment. But we'll be engaged with this family and this issue, if we have to, weekly, to get it addressed. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We continue our continuing conversation with Tyrone West family. They're in the studio with us now. You can all join us here at 410-319-8888. George, you had a question?
Yeah, I certainly did. Before we get to the callers, Mark, I just want to make a statement that recently there was an FBI report, and this is in direct regard to Nakia's call and probably to the rest of the callers, but there was recently an FBI report that was publicly put out stating that the Baltimore City Police Department was one of the most corrupt agencies in the nation, especially the Crime Victims Unit. And that specific question was asked at that Mayor's Town Hall meeting. And the answer that I got was that, before the FBI came in and did their investigations, we had been conducting an investigation on officers months and months before the FBI came in. So my question to them was, if you've been conducting an investigation for months and months and months before the FBI comes in, how come the FBI can come in and conduct an investigation within a few short months and come up with the conclusion that Baltimore City Police Department is corrupt? They convicted Officer Kendall Randall for corruption, and you haven't come out with anything at all in regards to your investigation, what you've done. They specifically said, well, we didn't disband the unit. We moved some officers to other places. You know, we displaced officers. We put them in other districts. But why did you do that? Were these officers complacent in something? You wouldn't move someone if they were doing a good job. Why don't you just be transparent to the public and let them know what you're doing? If you want to bridge the gap between the community and the police department, you have to be transparent. You have to let them know what stage you're at and what you're doing to get the confidence back. You're not going to be able to build a bridge if you keep hiding things, sweeping things under the rug, and doing things under the guise of pending investigations.
And we'll take a look at that FBI report here as well. And before we get a couple of callers in here to wind up this particular part of our conversation, Tawanda, you want to read something that you that came out of and talk about?
Yes.
Because you all go to, you're still going to Roberta's house.
Oh, and specifically, I just want to get out that on West Wednesday, which is today. We will be holding a demonstration today.
Where?
Right here at Morgan. Not at Morgan, but right down the street from Morgan.
Oh, the Northeast Police District?
Yes. Northeast Police District, because that's where most of the officers responded to. And be reminded that they did give out three Signal 13s at that time, at which point one Morgan State Police officer responded and was also complacent in this travesty. So we will be demonstrating today at 5 p.m.
at Northeast Police District.
At Northeast Police District on Argonne Drive.
And as far as the Roberta House, it wrapped up for me last week, and I'm like, the day I found out my dad passed away, it wrapped up, so it's like hard. But now I have the opportunity to put my daughter in counseling, so she'll start next week, so the rest of our family will start next week on the 6th. So, but I had to make this poem because people don't understand and realize what it takes, the effect and the hurt that it hurts the family, the grief that the family goes through. Nobody knows about what happens when the lights goes out and when you can't sleep at night. So I'm going to make it real brief with my poem, and it's called When a Loved One is Murdered. When a loved one is murdered, when you act as God and take the when you act as God and take a life, the deceased one family suffers with pain, grief, and strife. You snatch something so precious away from a family that you can't give back, leaving the family to move on and pick up all of the slack. When you take a precious life, nothing ever will be the same, forcing the family and friends to put RIP in the front of their loved ones' names. The pain tests your faith and all that you believe. Then you are forced into society to pay your dues and at the same time grieve. Your heart is so heavy. The devastation is so real. Your body feels torn into pieces. You can't express how you feel. When seeking justice is an everyday chore, and nothing in this evil world matters anymore, but then you sat still for a second just to think. And when it seems that your life ship was just about to sink, God steps in, and his words is always true. Then he says the battle was not yours. Then what will you do? Put God first and live in God's will. Trust and believe me, he knows how we all feel. He's a good God that wipes all of our tears every day. Put God first and always pray. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. And that's the only thing
Amen.
That keeps me encouraged and strength.
Amen. Let's go to the phones with the little time we have left. And I know that I want to, before we go to the phones, which is a quick thing, we're going to go to his aunt, Diane Bartlett, who called in. We'll hear her voice. Leo called. We'll try to get to his voice as well. But before we get there very quickly, I want to talk about what we talked about during the break, that there's a condition that medical examiners use called excited delirium, which is a condition that says when somebody is being beaten that they get this exuberant strength and they can rise up, and then they die of heart failure or their systems collapse and they pass away in the midst of being restrained. And there's a lot of argument I've been hearing from people that in fact, and I talked to a number of medical examiners around the country and other people to kind of find out what could be going on here. And their response was, you could see that as a result, excited delirium, which would exonerate the police because it would mean that he was beaten. There might have been bruises in different parts of his body, no internal damages, so he died
That's
of a heart attack.
That sounds like a cover-up.
But that is what I'm just saying. I think that term I could see being used in this case.
Well, that term, medically speaking, is entirely true. However, the cause of that medical term to come about, what was, you know, on any autopsy, you get a manner of death and a cause of death. In any case, they were entirely responsible, irregardless of that term.
My thing, if I beat the hell out of somebody, can I use that term and say that they suffer from that? That's my thing.
410-319-8888. Diane Bartlett, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Mark Steiner.
Good morning. Welcome.
I'm Tyrone West's aunt. He was like my son.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, when my sister passed away. Tyrone and I have always been very close.
Yes.
Very close. On July 18th, when the police took his life so brutally, mm-hmm. Nobody understands what pain that I'm suffering day in and day out. They murdered a man that had so much to live for. His
yes.
family loved him.
Yes.
This is killing me because all I hear in my ear is Tyrone screaming, help me, help me. Does that sound like a man that's injuring a police officer? They beat him so bad that he could no longer speak. Those officers maced him, they tased him, they stomped him, and they beat him. You can't tell me one man on this earth that would be able to outlive that kind of beating.
By 10 officers.
All I'm saying is, they didn't have to kill him. keep pleading, stop. Please stop hitting me while on the ground. I will never, ever, as long as I live, get over this. They didn't have to kill my child like that. And that's all I hear, and that's all I see. All the medicines in the world that they've given me can't take this pain away. I love this boy with everything in me. And I just want justice for him. Tell the truth what they did to him, please. Tell the truth so my family can move on. We'll never forget it, no matter what. But we need to move on. I can't sleep. I can't do anything. I just want justice for Tyrone. And let the world know this can happen to you.
Yes.
If we don't stop this police brutality, these jump out boys or whatever they call themselves, you got
murderous.
To understand, you're not judge and jury. What happened to the system where you lock a person up? They beat him to death, literally beat him to death. He took his last breath on that ground. Where they scraped him up to put him on a gurney. He was already dead. And I ask that God have mercy on their soul because they're going to burn in hell for what they did to Tyrone.
Thanks, Diane. You really expressed basically how the family feels.
Yes, his kids and everything. They couldn't even come the day. They were so they devastated. Like, they don't even want to come out in public. It's not that they don't want to come out. They're not strong enough yet. His daughter, who just had a grandbaby, you know, my brother's granddaughter, she just had a daughter. And then he got a grandson and his younger son like that. Oh, we are suffering.
You want to add, before we do have to take a break here, but I promise we'll come back in the next week and have everybody back on for a much longer discussion because many people are calling in and we want to get to all of them. Some of them are calling in who the same things happened to their families. If we can't get to your calls today, don't hang up. I'm going to have producers pick up, get your name and telephone number. We will call you to take down your story as well because we need to hear family stories from across Baltimore to put this record straight here. But go ahead, sir.
Right, I'm Clifton Tyrone's uncle. My only question is to the people that did that brutal beating of my nephew. I just ask, tell the truth, stop the lies, because Tyrone West didn't have to die.
And you had a question you want to ask me?
Yeah, Mark, you know, you do many varied and different programs. You often share your views and your opinions on these programs.
Right.
And you've had occasion to interview many people regarding this, and not specifically the case itself, but the entire matter of police brutality and police issues. So I want to ask you a question so that your listening public will get a general feel. How do you feel about this incident in and of itself?
I think that I've been around a long time. I am someone who grew up on the west side and east side of this town both. I think that we have that police brutality is a fact of life in this community and communities across America. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again. One of my best friends was killed by the Oakland police in 1968, Henry Kellum. And he was shot, murdered by the FBI and the Oakland police. And so I've been living this for a long, long time. And I think that what we have to do to get to the root of this, we need to kind of change the nature of how we police the city.
Amen.
We need to. There are people have said to me in the last few days. I've talked to a number of people who said to me, "We have trained parts of the police department trying to say there are other ways." Judy Lombardi and some others. We train people in other ways how you address situations without physical contact. You don't need physical contact. There was no reason to drag Tyrone West out of this car. We still don't know
why he was stopped.
Why he was stopped?
Right.
No charges have been filed. We don't know why he was stopped.
No
why he was on the ground,
nothing.
Whether he what was going on. And so I think that police police brutality against young black men in this country, especially young black men, but people of color in general, It's just got to end. Poor people in general.
It has to stop.
Yes. It has to stop. We can't allow this to happen. I think that because what happens is that young black men are seen as the enemy, as the bogeyman, as something evil, something to be frightened of. And that has to change. We have to begin to change what we do and how we perceive things. And I think that we have to – Tyrone West to me and all the rest, Anthony Anderson, but because Tyrone West happened so recently and the family has – you all have come out in such a powerful, strong way.
We're going to be here.
And we're not going nowhere.
That you are making a statement to the public.
Not going anywhere.
Nowhere.
Which is why this media outlet is going to give that opportunity a chance to be heard, because we have to have some answers. We have to have it resolved. I think we need – a separate commission in the city, our own Truth and Reconciliation Commission, like we had in South Africa, to address what's going on and to begin to change the behavior. You need a police civilian review board to oversee these things, people who are not part of the police department. I think that the state's attorney's office, when they investigate these things, they need to have an independent board doing it, not the state's attorney's office, because the state's attorney's office has to work with the police on serious violent crimes and things that have to hurt our community. So they have to have a relationship with the police. There needs to be a group on the outside who does these investigations so they're honest and clear and beyond reproach.
Yep.
You know, your views and your opinions are well respected, and I greatly appreciate that. And I see that you got a lot of callers on the board, in particular one caller named Leo. If you could just give him 1 minute. 1 minute.
No problem. Then we do have to go. What we have is women who are from Guyana who are coming in to talk about their oppression, their own society, what's been going on through their photographer's eyes, are coming in for the Last Brothers program. Right. They've been waiting online. So, but let's go to Leo, who I know. You're talking about Leo Burrows.
Leo Burrows.
And I'll give you a little piece of history.
Come on.
Leo Burrows and I, as younger men, were part of the civic interest group in the civil rights movement. I was a sophomore in high school. He was, I think, at that time, at least a junior at Morgan State University, and we were arrested together. We were beaten together in the civil rights movement. So I've known Leo Burrows since I was a young boy. So I know who Leo is, and Leo, welcome to the show again.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, Leo.
Hey,
Mark
Leo.
Steiner, how you doing?
I'm well, Leo Burrows. How are you?
George Peoples and Tawanda and everybody.
Hey, Leo.
Hi, Leo. Hi, Leo. How are you?
I am, excuse me, I'm the chair of the Committee of Concerned Citizens, of which I'm proud to say that George Peoples and Tyrone West family, they are a part of our Committee of Concerned Citizens. And we're so proud of them for the courageous leadership they provided, not only in the case of Tyrone West, their family member, but others in our community. We're just proud of them. And Mark, we're proud of you for having the integrity and the courage of your convictions that some people just don't have who are in positions that you occupy. Let me say that the mayor, the governor, the legislators, the members of the city council need to hold hearings. We need to have hearings at the legislative end in Annapolis. We've got to stop avoiding this problem. I'm particularly outraged by David Fowler and the police commissioner. David Fowler is the chief medical examiner for the state of Maryland, who says he's not going to talk to anybody about this issue or any other. Well, at the last time I heard, the state office, medical examiner's office, is funded by the state of Maryland. So we're not going to have a situation in which the medical examiner in the state exonerates himself from dialogue or discussion on matters of this kind. He, too, has to be held accountable, along with Greg Bernstein, the state's attorney, and the chief of police, and the mayor, and all the rest. So we're going to stay on the battlefield. We're going to keep fighting. And we're going to fight harder now than ever, because victory can be won, but not easily, because we have an entrenched system of institutional racism, as well you know. It's been going on a long time, and there are a lot of black civil rights leaders, not just white folks, who have turned a blind eye and aren't doing a damn thing either. In this city and others, they're too afraid to speak, and when you get too afraid to speak, that kind of cowardice leads to your demise.
Amen.
Thank you, Leo. Thank you, Leo.
And will we see you today, Leo?
Quick plug, November 2nd, this Saturday, we will be going to Annapolis, Maryland. Black Legislative Caucus will be holding another town hall meeting this Saturday. Mm-hmm. We will be going there. So anyone that's interested in being there, just please join us and be there.
So we have to take a break here because we have to go to the next callers. But let me just say that Teresa, you're holding on. I apologize if I didn't get you a call. My producer is going to pick up and get your telephone name, get your number and your name and number, so we can call you about what happened to your nephew. We're going to hear that story. Miss Anderson, my deep apologies for not being able to get to your call either. Been a lot of callers here. Our condolences with you as well, with Anthony Anderson. We'll pick up make sure we have your number and get back to you as well. We'll come back to a much longer forum on this. We don't have to squeeze time in the next week on the show. And I want to thank. We have to get to break here. We have other guests standing by. Today, Northeast Police District,
5 p.m.
The Tyrone West family and friends will be there.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good to see you all.
Thank you, Mark, for having us once again.
We're going to take a very brief break, and come right back with our Guyanese women to talk about their world, their society, and their view of the planet. Stay with us.
Thank you, Mark.